The U.S. House Ag Labor Working Group has released its final report, plus farmers market grants in Arkansas, and a lot more on today's episode of the Arkansas AgCast, which starts right now.
You're listening to the Arkansas AgCast, where we discuss the latest news, trends, and issues impacting Arkansas farmers and ranchers. Our show is brought to you by the Arkansas Farm Bureau Federation and hosted by Jason Brown and John Nickman.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, Matthew.
Hello.
Back.
Yeah, glad to have you in the studio today. Looking very tropical.
Yeah. Well, I'm going on vacation next week, so I'm trying to, pre-game the vibes.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
You going to a beach somewhere?
Yeah, eventually. We're starting at a...
Road trip, huh?
Yeah, starting in South Carolina at a national park, and ending up in Florida in a Tampa area. So.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. You flying out there?
No, driving.
Cool.
So you're a big Southeast U.S.
So you're starting here, actually.
Yeah, I'm starting here.
Road tour.
That'll be fun. I've been to Myrtle Beach before.
Yeah, Myrtle Beach is nice.
Yeah.
Going to Congaree National Park.
You going to Charleston?
No, we're going to go to Columbia, but not Charleston.
Some of the best food I've ever eaten is Charleston.
Are you going to tell me about a burger joint on a cliffside again and give me no information more than that?
No, I ended up giving you information about that.
That was the West Coast road trip, wasn't it?
It ended up being closed, didn't it?
I think it was we didn't go quite that north on the old highway one.
Yeah. Oklahoma.
Yeah,
the Italian.
Oh,
joint.
That one too. Yeah, that one was closed.
That's unfortunate. That's a good place. I knew there was a closed one.
Yeah,
the Alpree, I think.
And it would have been better than the Italian place I went to in Krebs. So,
yeah, you'll have that.
Yeah. All right, little spring break trip.
Yeah.
For Matthew, y'all doing anything?
No. No, turkey season starts here pretty soon. So
really,
and then we've got I think every niece and nephew I have has a birthday between the beginning of March and the beginning of May.
Really,
like every weekend.
Yeah,
or it's either that or recitals. Then you got Easter. It's the busiest time of year for us.
And Easter's early this year.
Mm-hmm.
Good Friday is the last Friday in March, I think.
Is it? Right?
Yep, something like that.
So what are y'all doing?
I don't know. We're going to watch the weather, and if the weather seems to be okay,
just camping.
We may break the camper out. Yeah, we may do that. But nothing for sure yet.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. I feel like it's been a super busy week. Brian's out today at the statewide agents and agency managers meeting for the Farm Bureau Insurance Company. So thanks to Matthew for filling in. I know, obviously, you're swamped heading out on vacation this week.
Yep.
So thanks for making the time today. We got a lot to talk about. But this weekend is St. Patrick's Day.
It is.
The 17th.
What's
Sunday.
With that look?
It just reminded me of that. Remember that?
I don't want to...
Yeah, you profile
him. I don't want to size you up, but it seems just eyeballing it here that you should be very excited.
I'm
about
proud.
This.
I'm wearing a green shirt today, just for the announcement.
I just think it's funny that his face went like three shades darker.
What was it last year? I was showing y'all a picture of the child's book.
Of you and Anthony. My niece,
it was like a little leprechaun and a leprechaun baby.
I forgot about that.
And my niece was like, look, Mom, it's Uncle John and Anthony. Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
So, yeah, that popped my mind as soon as she said that. Sorry.
That's a callback to our longtime listeners.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you remember that time?
So... I don't know. I won't ask if you got anything planned. I'm sure you don't. I mean, it's a Sunday. It's I don't know. I feel like my St. Patrick's Day celebrating days are behind me.
Yeah.
But you know, the one thing about St. Patrick's Day, in addition to the green, is the menu. I feel like there's always a very specific menu. So a conundrum for you both.
Yeah.
If you're choosing if it's on Sunday, you had to choose between corned beef and cabbage and, let's say, shepherd's pie. What are you going with?
I'd probably take shepherd's pie.
Yeah.
But I made corned beef last year, and I didn't do a very good job, or I just didn't like it all that much. I've had corned beef sandwiches like before that I really liked. Mm-hmm. But whatever I put together was not good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'd say shepherd's pie, too, although I like saying bangers and mash.
Bangers and mash. I didn't think about bangers and mash.
That might be a secret third option.
I'm also not a fan of cabbage.
You don't like cabbage?
So that kind of helps me.
There's a restaurant in town that has a smothered cabbage as a side dish.
Really?
It is amazing.
Really? Mm-hmm. I've had buddies, you know, my barbecue friends over the years that will, you know, cover a cabbage head with butter and salt, pepper, or whatever, and wrap it in foil and drop it on the smoker for 6 or 8 hours. And they swear by that, but I've never had one.
I never have either.
Yeah. Every St. Patrick's Day, I'm always taken back to like grade school.
Did you get pinched a lot?
Well, yeah.
Pronounce that again.
Pinched.
Pinched.
How many E's are in there?
Pinched.
You get pinched a lot.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, because I had not washed my green shirt.
I got pinched all the time. I got pinched all the time.
Oh, you just wear your green on St. Patty's Day. That's about getting pinched.
I mean, this would have been a good year for it because it wasn't, you know, on a school day. The worst was when it was on school day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, it takes me back to, you know, we always had the like leprechaun invasion. Like, we would come back in from recess or something like that. Y'all never had this? And there would be, like, little green footprints all over your desk?
Y'all
had some terrible teachers.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say the teacher that didn't cause a leprechaun invasion was a good teacher.
My glasses fog up, man. This is a poor city.
Yes.
Oh, God.
We had a lot of leprechauns running around, apparently. Anyway.
That's culturally insensitive or something. I don't know.
I just remember being a very festive, fun time. Also,
leprechaun invasion.
What does that even mean?
We had teachers who liked to have fun. Ooh. That's what I'll say.
Well, they
unlike you two.
Yeah. Well, you as a student cared. The teachers cared about you enough to put all
to
that together for
make
you.
Make us think that some leprechauns had run rampant in our room, turned books upside down, and all kinds
of
stuff.
Well, yeah.
Hey, you know.
Anyway. All right, well, I'm sorry y'all didn't have much fun growing up. speaking of school, though, and schools, you know, back in October, November, last fall, I'll say, you brought a story to the show. One of us did.
I think it was you.
Called Brisket for the District. It was a kind of a highlight of the North Little Rock School District here in Pulaski County. Who partnering up with farms in Arkansas to feed school lunches, farm to school sort of a program. Justin Roten on our team went recently and spent some time at North Little Rock to capture that actually happening.
Yeah.
And it was kind of funny. So Justin went out there to kind of, you know, tell the story in video form. Just so happened, Matthew had been at a place called, he had filmed a feature, a farmer profile at Warman Farms, and found out that a lot of their cattle, their beef went to local schools.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so Justin gets there and turns out, like, the day he's there to film, like, they're serving up Warman Farms.
So they source from that farm.
Yeah, that's one of those farms they source from. So it's cool. So cool. But anyway, so Justin, we just put it out today, a video about the North Little Rock School District and what they're doing with this farm to school initiative. I think if I remember correctly, they plan to, in this school year, purchase a $250,000 plus worth of animal protein from Arkansas Farms and Ranches to serve to their students.
Just in the year?
Yeah, in the school year. Yeah, and it's very cool.
They bought this crazy industrial smoker.
Yeah, they bought an industrial smoker, sort of talked to a couple of guys who work in their warehouse who had a passion for barbecue into sort of running the thing.
Yeah.
So Justin's there. One day they're serving roast. The next visit, they're serving barbecue ribs. I mean, and like all these are school lunches. Like, these are not the school lunches that we had.
That beats square pizza all day.
Yeah. I mean, I saw those ribs and I was like, dang, I want to eat those ribs right now. Like, what?
You're a rib guy.
These kids are getting good.
So, if that sounds interesting, it's a very cool program. You said you had shared it out on your channels. I did too. And have already gotten a lot of feedback on that. So go to our channels and check that feature out.
Yeah, that's really unique, you know, because the farm to school program the ag department has it seems to be a little bit more geared towards like fruit and vegetables. Not on purpose or not intentionally. It's just kind of where I think that movement started. And now you've got a very unique, you know, very creative look at it. Arthur Rock did it, and I recommend him for it.
And there's the you know, when I went and did that video with John Warman there at Warman Farms, the biggest issue with, you know, a school looking to buy protein is having a source that they can keep coming back to.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, most cattle ranchers, they're not processing enough beef to honestly supply schools. Absolutely. You know,
I think the number in that Arkansas Times story was like 8,000 students or something that. I mean, that's a lot of meat.
You need lots and lots of meat. And that's, I know that's Warman Farms there. They've got themselves in a position that they can do it, but not that many beef producers can do it. And so I think that's why we're starting to see it now, because we're starting to see that market.
Yeah.
And to the point of the, you know, dollar sign attached to that, schools are starting to get grants where they can actually afford it, you know.
Yeah.
Before they were buying, you know, frozen, probably beef patties.
Yeah.
But
I think some of your other variables were the ability to process that.
Yeah.
That,
yeah. And we're starting to see.
And then also the schools having the equipment not only to hold it cold or freeze it, but also to be able to process it even further in their kitchens. Basically, knives. That was a problem when the farm to school thing opened up. School kitchens didn't have knives.
They don't
anymore,
have knives
or any processing
anymore.
Equipment or anything. So
Well,
those are weird hurdles that you didn't think would even exist.
Well, I think that may be one key. I mean, I don't want to speak for the district because I don't know this, but I think about how they're cooking it as barbecue off site, as it were. They're, you know, that cooker is set up like at their warehouse, I think, is what the video showed. Well, you can handle all of that in that situation without having to do any kind of processing, trimming, whatever that may be, and then deliver the finished product to the schools.
And most of the schools, I think, that are buying beef and protein in general are buying ground. You know, they're buying the secondary. So I think that's kind of what makes North Little Rock a little special right now, is that they are taking some of the more what we would consider a primal or, you know, a primary cut
and
turning that into school lunches.
Yeah.
They're crushing it. I like it.
Pretty cool. And I know, like I said, that story last fall mentioned that they do have interest in the vegetables and fruits piece. It's just you think sourcing animal protein for 8,000 kids is tough.
Yeah.
That produce piece.
Yeah.
I'll say.
Well, and the timing of it, right? Mm-hmm. In that, you know, peak season in Arkansas for produce is when school's not in session.
Yeah.
So you're
there's
some overlap. And you've got the people who have indoor greenhouses and hydroponics and stuff like that.
Yeah. But, and on top of that, I don't think supplies even come close, and nor will it in the near future, to meeting the demand.
Yeah.
No. You know.
Good luck, right? Like,
yeah, so that's a lot of a lot of produce.
Any school nutritionist or, you know,
protein too,
person, I mean, they would love to get all of their stuff locally. I think it's just the supply is tough.
Yeah,
to make that
last I'll say about it, we can move on. But we should really link. I'm just thinking about this out loud processing, but link or go look for the Warman Farms. Maybe we can link it in the profile or in the North Little Rock. But he talks about the education component too, and how these kids are not only eating a locally produced product, but they they're visiting some of these schools and
field
and
trips.
Where,
yeah, well, and, that,
and field trips out to the farm, and that's an important aspect.
And I think several of these schools have started putting up posters and stuff like that for Warman Farms, but maybe other farms too. And that that's how you start that conversation, right? A kid's going to see a hamburger and just think it's a hamburger, you know. Mm-hmm. They're, and they, it might taste way better than the one they had last week, but they're not going to make that connection unless, you know, those schools are promoting that, hey, this food actually came from a farm that's right down the road.
Yeah.
It steps cool. in the right direction.
That's pretty cool.
Well, let's not eat up any more time on that subject.
Boy.
You like that, Matthew?
Oh, yeah. It's the second week for some hardcore dad jokes.
Well, we have a new Ag Insider out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, out of our department, mm-hmm. Commodity and Regulatory Affairs. Jared Garrett wrote a little article. I shouldn't call it little. A really good article on a story that we reported on here 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. I think, mm-hmm. the Packers and Stockyards Act, and the title of it is that also enhancing transparency in poultry. His article is a little bit more specific to the poultry industry and for growers in that contract situation.
Sure.
So in the tournament system that they're in as well, it's specific in that article. So I'm not going to get into detail about it today because I don't want to ruin Jared's great work. So if you're interested, please visit arfb.com and click on Arkansas Agriculture /Ag Insider.
All right.
It'll be the first article. So
yeah.
It's his first article he's written since he started. So good. Congratulations, man.
Congrats, Jared, on getting that published. Before we get on into the news, we've mentioned this the past couple weeks, but internships are open here at Arkansas Farm Bureau for the summer. There are a couple of opportunities, I believe, multi-departmental, that would work with OMP, our organizations and member programs, with our government relations department and the commodities team, yep. as well. And in the public relations department, we've got an internship open too. Qualifications are pretty simple. You've got to be enrolled in an accredited Arkansas university, be a junior level or higher, have a 3.0 GPA or higher. We've already established we would not have been eligible for this.
No.
And you've got to be pursuing a degree in ag. So there you go. If you can check those boxes, go to arfb.com, look under the careers page, and apply.
And I'll say it's a it's a pretty exclusive club of alumni of that program who've all turned out to be extremely successful.
Do you all meet annually?
Oh yeah, we have an annual Zoom call, you know. But really, I still see, you know, when we go to DC, I see some of our past interns, you know, to different agencies and organizations mm-hmm. across the state, and there's always a connection there. So it's one of those things that if you do, it's not just, oh, this is checking a box at an internship. You're going to make a lot of great connections along the way.
And get some good experience.
I've got a buddy that works for USDA in Dallas, and he was an intern here. He's a few years older than
me. Oh, really?
So,
yeah.
I think it's pretty interesting to see those people go on to bigger and better things or staying at Farm Bureau.
Probably the least successful thing you can do after being an intern here is staying here. And that's not bashing myself, but that's saying that.
You should have been so good at what you did.
The people who have been interns have gone on and are doing incredible things.
Some big, big things, Well, I can tell you, I've already been thinking through a list of stuff to do, and it's not, I can assure you, this is not a go get coffee, mm-mm. pick up my dry cleaning internship. You're going to do real hands-on work, produce projects, and things like that. So check it out.
Absolutely. Well, what about the news?
Let's get into
it. You want me to kick it off?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. It's my turn.
Yep.
So the Arkansas Department of Agriculture has opened up their farmers market grants. Have you heard about this?
No, I have not.
So on Tuesday, in partnership with the Farm Credit Associations of Arkansas, the Arkansas Department of Agriculture announced that their 9th annual Arkansas Farmers Market Promotion Program is open. The program helps build awareness for farmers markets and their vendors, as well as provides funding assistance for the state's farmers markets to serve their communities. This program is administered by the Department of Agriculture and funded by the Farm Credit Association of Arkansas. The program allows funding for the following promotional items for a specific community-based farmers market: signage listing names, or signage that lists names, seasons, times, of operation and location details, local advertising and print, radio, and television media projects, social media campaigns as well. The program provides cost share assistance of up to 75% of the project or up to $400.
All right.
Oh, well, I got here, buddy.
No. Carry on.
Anyways, the department and the Farm Credit Associations of Arkansas provided $9,000 in program funding to 25 Arkansas farmers markets in 2023. It's also worth mentioning, though, that they also offer reusable paper shopping bags at reduced rates purchase by community-based farmers markets. The Farmers Market Bag Program enables farmers markets to provide convenient shopping bags for consumers. There's a minimum purchase of 250 bags at $25. If you are interested in applying for the Farmers Market Grant Program or purchasing bags for your market, you can visit agriculture.arkansas.gov.
Nice.
That story just gets me excited because, you know, it's getting warm, things are greening up, and we're getting close to the farmer's market
season.
We're
like a month and a half away from first weekend.
And it's always exciting to me to get out to several local markets, you know, not just here in Little Rock, but going and seeing all the things you can get here locally.
Well, that's first weekend in May.
Usually,
is that generally what it is?
Yeah.
Some of the bigger
you
ones will open up then.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Not all of them are on May 1st, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, but that is usually
the rule of thumb.
Yeah. All right. Well, good to know. All right. We've got some Arkansas ag news hot off the press here. Just this morning, USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service, NRCS, we call it around here, announced that it will invest about $138 million of financial assistance from the Inflation Reduction Act in 138 new climate smart conservation easements through which farmers and ranchers are conserving wetlands, grasslands, and prime farmlands. The press release from USDA said the agricultural conservation easement program projects are part of a broad investment in climate smart agriculture and forestry. The projects are broken out into two components, agricultural land easements and wetland reserve easements. And funding was prioritized by land that will most reduce, capture, avoid, or sequester carbon dioxide, methane, or nitrous oxide emissions. NRCS has selected projects addressing the following priorities here. High threat of conversion to a non-grassland use, high threat of conversion to a non-agricultural use, lands with organic soils and high carbon mineral soils, restored native forest habitat. And just a note here, there are 59 funded wetland reserve easement projects here in this category, including projects in Arkansas. And then you've got the existing native forest habitat. There are 15 funded projects here, including projects in Arkansas. And then rounding out the list, restored grassland habitat. So just a note, these projects are tentatively selected, meaning that NRCS will work with the project applicants to complete eligibility for enrollment. So far, Arkansas has chimed in or gotten projects selected for two of those categories. NRCS is streamlining ACEP appraisals, land surveys, and certifying eligible entities who help NRCS and producers enroll land into ag land easements. Additionally, they are working with partners like Ducks Unlimited, who hired 10 easement acquisition specialists to help NRCS increase capacity and acquire more conservation easements. If you're interested in learning more about this funding, visit USDA.gov.
That's interesting. I was kind of, while you were saying that, I was thinking, I wonder if any Ducks Unlimited or Delta Waterfowl is getting involved in this.
It just sort of feels like it's got that tilt to it. So, big-time conservation projects. And like I said, overall, there were several states, a lot of SEC states, as we sometimes refer to them, named here as far as having projects selected. We'll kind of keep an eye on that, see if there's any additional news. But for now, let's take a short break and hear a bit about what a Farm Bureau membership can do in your community.
Your Arkansas Farm Bureau membership supports the work we do on behalf of Arkansas farmers, ranchers, and communities around the state. A $40 annual Farm Bureau membership makes a difference in your neighborhood. From youth leadership programs and academic scholarships to hunger relief and disaster support. You can make a difference and be a champion for your community. Join at ARFB.com.
All right. I got one more story.
All right.
You ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Hold on. So H2A labor, is back in the news. Potentially good news.
Nice.
For all. As we reported here a few times, U.S. House Committee on Agriculture created the Agricultural Labor Working Group, or ALWG, last year, which is co-chaired by Republican Congressman Rick Crawford.
There we go.
I knew I was going to stumble through that. And Democratic Congressman Don Davis of North Carolina. The committee consists of equal parts Republicans and Democrats. And last fall, they put out an interim report, but just this last week, they released their final report with recommendations on how to improve the H-2A guest worker program. This is kind of something we've been looking forward to. The report includes over 20 recommendations, and with a bipartisan effort, 15 of those recommendations were unanimously approved by the committee.
Wow.
Yeah. Some of those recommendations include streamlining the recruiting and hiring of H-2A employees, expanding the H-2A program to meet year-round needs, paying employees based on duties performed for the majority of their day, and reforming wage calculation standards to provide stability in farm worker pay rates. According to the American Farm Bureau's Market Intel article regarding the issue, mandatory base wage rates for H-2A workers increased 41% from 2018 to 2023.
Wow.
This growth is in agricultural wage rates is almost 60% higher than the growth in overall U.S. employment index. So just think about that for a second.
That's kind of.
It should also be pointed out the report also gives recommendations for severe weather-related worker protection recommendations to ensure employee health and safety.
Yeah.
So this is what the committee was started in the summer. A final report or interim report came out in November, and a final one came out just last week. I was pretty surprised that it came out this quick.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to take longer.
They moved really quickly, especially – I'll say as comprehensive as the recommendations seem to be. I'll toot your horn since I know you and Tyler Oxner, your colleague Tyler on the commodities team, sat down and talked with Alex Thomas of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette yesterday and sort of talked a lot about this report and what it means and how farmers and our members maybe feeling about the recommendations.
Yeah.
So,
and one thing he brought up was, you know, the division you kind of feel between both parties right now in D.C., it was concern going into this committee, at least for people on the outside looking
in,
right?
Yeah.
And
anything that requires bipartisan agreement right now.
But what 15 to 20 of these recommendations were unanimously voted on or passed.
Mm-hmm.
So, It was good to see they were actually working together. And then when we were in D.C. for issue advisory committees, we got to go talk to Congressman Crawford and Davis about it. And one of the things they said was that they agreed on more things than they disagreed on.
Yeah.
And that gave me a lot of confidence.
Yeah, sure.
But I had no idea this was going to come out just less than 30 days later.
That much quicker. Yeah. I mean, do you think – so when they started this working group, did we start a committee?
Yes.
Here,
so Tyler and I put together a committee or H2A/labor issue committee here in Arkansas Farm Bureau, and we have what I think 12 or 13 members, maybe 14.
Okay.
And we met in November, right when this interim report came out.
Yeah, they put out an earlier.
And one thing the reporter asked us yesterday was, what do you see that's different from, you know, from Eastern Arkansas compared to North Carolina or California, whatever parts of the country? There really isn't. I mean, there's not a big difference in the complaints or the issues about the program from one state to the next, from one region to the next. It's all the same. Everybody has the same sentiment towards it, the same issues. It's a nationwide problem.
Yeah.
And this is the right, or this is the step in the right direction, you know. But again, these are just recommendations. They have no legal right to make these changes. It'll take legislation and policy change too.
And I think it's important to note
these.
Yeah, if you're listening to this show, and if you're not that familiar with this program, I mean, look, the reality is farm work is hard work, and it's outdoors. It's labor intensive. And a lot of times, you know, nowadays you can get a job in the air conditioner for similar pay. And so it's not only that, but our rural communities are shrinking.
Yeah.
And so it's just getting harder and harder for farmers to find labor to do the work, to produce the food that we need on our dinner table.
Yeah.
And so farmers are having to rely more and more on immigrant labor.
Yeah.
And it's a hard, complicated, expensive process.
Yeah. There have been some people push back on, you know, people deserve to be paid, right? That's true. But I've also heard from these people want to work above all else.
Mm-hmm.
They want a job. Mm-hmm. You know, and almost to some extent, I don't want to speak for anybody else, but to some extent, some of them are like, you know, as long as we have a job and we make enough money, that's fine. You don't have to keep on paying us more and more every year.
Yeah.
So, and then also it's these farmers have a lot to do with or know these people personally.
Sure,
right, and have relationships with them.
They live on their place, you know.
So they're treated like family, and that there's been some pushback to some regard on some of this on this issue. But like you said, like I think what we were talking about yesterday was that when I was in high school, every kid in Stuttgart was looking for a job on the farm, and I've had plenty of farmers tell me that we don't have anybody knocking on the door anymore.
Wow. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You know. I think it's universal with all farmers is that all of them would rather, you know, first case they would want to hire, you know, an Arkansan, somebody who's here. It's not an option, right?
No. Yeah,
just nobody
right.
coming asking for jobs anymore. And so,
yeah,
we will not get food on our table, you know, clothes on our back.
Yeah.
You know,
and another question that people kind of came up with, our farmers was like, you have the adverse effect wage rate, which is the minimum payment or minimum amount you have to pay the employee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's set so you don't adversely affect another person's wage, say somebody locally, but there's nobody applying for the job.
Yeah. No, nobody.
So how are you adversely affecting their wage rate if they're not applying
for the job?
Well,
but, regardless, I didn't
this
mention
is
where
positive.
You, yeah, this is positive. If you want more information on it, I don't have the website in front of me, my mistake, but just Google Agricultural Labor Working Group, also add in the U.S. House Ag Committee, and it'll pop up. Yeah, it'll pop up.
Yeah.
If you want to see the final report.
If it's not up already, actually, I should have thought about this. If it's not up already, it'll be up by the time this podcast airs on Thursday. We're going to post it on Arkansas Agriculture, our online news portal, which you can get to by going to arcag.arfb.com.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to find.
Well, and so kind of related, but not really. We had a group of farmers, which you guys might have mentioned it, but in D.C. last week for the presidents and leaders tour. And something I came away from several farmers who were there with us talking was it's good to know that they're not perfect there in D.C. They're not doing everything like, you know, farmers in agriculture might want. But there's definitely people there working, trying to make things better.
Yeah.
So I think this is a good example of, you know, a bipartisan thing. There was people on both sides of the aisle trying to improve the lives of farmers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Things just work slowly.
And they were transparent. They listed the recommendations that were accepted unanimously.
Yeah.
The ones that were accepted by a majority, and then the ones that weren't accepted.
Yeah.
So, and that was the smallest number.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, clearly they were a productive group, and like you said, it's just encouraging to see
across parties. They both had the same issues with it.
Yeah,
the program.
Yeah.
as it exists today.
And so glad to have Congressman Crawford in Arkansas working on that, and somebody who could, you know, who we had the direct ear of, you know, Arkansas farmers, able to have that direct connection with a congressman.
And that was part of the reason we started that committee. It was like, all right, we have an opportunity to put in comments directly, and show our opinion. And Congressman Crawford's office did come to our meetings, and they were a big help for us. Ms. Sherry, Joe, and a few others were really, really good to work with.
Yeah.
Great to work with.
Yeah. All right, that's a good one. I've got one more before we get out of here.
Okay.
You know, last week we talked about the governor's direction to review the state's levy system as part of that executive order she signed last year to update the state's water plan. Well, that water plan is work is back in the news this week, as it may be. You may recall the Arkansas Department of Agriculture is leading that work to update the Arkansas State Water Plan and developing the state's first ever statewide flood plan. As part of that work, the Ag Department will hold public meetings to engage stakeholders in identifying current water issues, needs, and best practice solutions. The first meeting will be held March 26 from 2 to 4 at the University of Arkansas System Division of Agriculture Cooperative Extension offices here in Little Rock. There will be a second meeting the next day, March 27th, again from 2 to 4 at the Don Tyson Center for Ag Sciences in Fayetteville. Additional public meetings will be held over the course of the planning process, but no details were available when we wrote this story today. To update the Arkansas Water Plan and the statewide flood plan, the Arkansas Ag Department is working in collaboration with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. According to the state's release, the purpose of the Arkansas Water Plan is to conserve and protect the state's water resources with a long-term goal of sustainable use to maximize the environmental and economic benefit of the state of Arkansas and the health and well-being of its citizens. So, representatives from all water use sectors are encouraged to participate in these meetings. If you've got a question or need more information, give Ryan Benefield at the Arkansas Ag Department a call. Ryan, I'm not going to give your phone number over the air here.
Yeah.
But yeah, call the Ag Department, ask for Ryan. I'm sure he'd be happy to help you. Again, those meetings are March 26th and March 27th.
So is this only surface water, or are they also talking about groundwater too?
You know what? I'm not real sure. This release did not go into that. I would have to go back into that initial executive order language, okay. I think. But yeah, I'm not real sure, and I apologize for that. But
no, no problem.
But yeah, the levee systems, I think, were a new addition. We're a new addition. That's what we reported on last week. Initially, this was just to cover the state water plan, and I think the levee systems, sort of came up in that work. So anyway.
Cool.
All right. Well, that's what we got. How about you?
Matthew, what you got for us, buddy?
Well, I always like talking about food when I come on here.
Yes, sir.
Especially restaurants. I'm a big restaurant eater. And one I was going to bring up that's opened semi-recently. It's been open for a few months. But you guys, you heard of the Preston Rose, their farm and brewing place there? And it's near Paris.
I have heard of that place. Not. I've not been
so,
there.
So they've had this, venue where they do, they brew different beers. And I know they have wines and lots of local foods and stuff. Well, they just opened recently the Preston Rose Town Bistro, and it's in Clarksville, and it's a farm-to-table, completely farm-to-table
That's
restaurant.
Cool. Oh,
they've it's very interesting dishes. They call it a Southern comfort food, like fusion, but they have lots of Asian-inspired stuff. Pho, orange chicken, bulgogi, like lots and lots of really cool things that I feel like maybe you don't hear about often farm-to-table. I feel like farm-to-table in Arkansas usually lands on, Southern comfort food.
And where is it again?
It's in Clarksville.
Clarksville.
That's close. Down there in Logan County, I believe.
Yeah.
And it's, I'm going to be honest, I haven't eaten there yet, but I've seen all their photos on social media. And if you want to get drooling, get on social media.
Have you been to the original?
Yeah. So I've been to the Preston Rose.
So you can vouch for that.
Yeah. And it's cool. They're really nice people. And I'm excited that they're kind of venturing out into, a more complete restaurant experience. And I'm excited to, for whatever reason, be near Clarksville to get a bite to eat.
I like some pho. You like pho?
Yeah, and what's funny about that is the other day one of the food writers in town asked on social media, what's a restaurant you miss in Arkansas you wish would come back, or Central Arkansas? And, there's always going to be the 80,000 people that say Sirloin's Inn and Casa Bonita or whatever.
Yeah.
But one that came up a lot, speaking of that sort of that fusion that you just mentioned, Matthew, was Southern Gourmetian. Do you remember that place?
I do not.
It was a food truck and then eventually became a brick and mortar.
Where was it?
Downtown on 4th or Capitol. But he had a food truck that was super popular. But anyway, you describing the menu reminded me of that. It was like, it was Southern food mixed with Asian food, and it was golly, that was good. So you're talking my language.
Yeah, the really cool thing too is that they're kind of, I think they're having like monthly menus, and so
oh nice,
like they're going to have a lot of seasonal stuff that kind of comes and goes in an attempt, I think, to, you know, utilize what they can get fresh, what they can get from local farmers. Yeah, like, you know, anything from Korean barbecue drums or, you know, they have a pork belly barbecue pizza and oolong tea ice cream and
pork belly pizza,
char grilled shrimp, you know.
Yeah,
it's it all sounds really good. It looks really good. And I just think it's cool that Clarksville's got a little farm to table restaurant that people awesome. In the River Valley can go and support.
Speaking of pizza and restaurants that aren't open anymore, did you ever eat at NYPD Pizza in West Monroe?
I did once or twice.
Did you? I liked it.
It was good. You know?
I liked the pizza. They had some other things, but their pizza was spot on.
I think that Little Rock suffers from a lack of great pizzas. We've got a few.
We've got a lot of pizza. But that's
great
not
pizza.
The same.
Yeah.
I will give Little Rock credit. You know, growing up, Little Rock just had the regular old
the
Chili's and all these other restaurants that were just chains. But, you know, in the last 10 years, Little Rock's came a long way.
Little Rock's definitely becoming a food scene in its own right.
Yeah. You'd be hard-pressed to find a better food scene than, I mean, in this region.
Especially person, I guess. Like we've got lots of great restaurants for our population.
Yeah. Really. And locally owned places, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, all right. Well, good conversation. Good show this week, gents.
Yes, sir.
That wraps up the news for this week. Thanks for following along with the Arkansas AgCast. We're grateful for you taking the time to watch and listen.
Yeah, remember you can catch new episodes of the show every Thursday afternoon. Find new episodes on Facebook and YouTube. Listen to audio version wherever you listen to podcasts.
And make sure to subscribe and leave us a review whenever you have a few extra minutes. The Arkansas AgCast is brought to you by the Arkansas Farm Bureau. I'm Jason Brown.
And I'm John McMinn.
And we'll see you next week.